I will be introducing legislation relating to the workers at Rocky Flats. It will be called the Compensation and Respect for Energy Workers Act of 2008, or the CARE Act. The brave men and women of Rocky Flats put their lives on the line to help build the nuclear arsenal that brought down the Soviet Union and ended the Cold War. I'm proud of their efforts, but for the last decade, they've been waging another fight. This time it's been against their own government, which continues to baselessly deny them compensation for illnesses they incurred as a result of the on-the-job exposure to radioactive materials. The extent to which the Department of Labor has poorly managed and implemented the Energy Employees Occupational Illness Compensation Programs for Rocky Flats workers is abhorrent. The recent reports indicate that former workers have had their claims lost or ignored, that claims examiners were encouraged to deny claims, and that bureaucratic red tape is tying the program in knots. This denial by design, as some have described it, is a betrayal of the workers at Rocky Flats in Colorado, and it blatantly disregards the original intent of Congress when it passed the legislation 8 years ago. It is unacceptable, in my view. The legislation, which we will be introducing, will do the following. It will expand the category of individuals eligible to receive benefits. It will streamline the policies and procedures surrounding the program, and it will improve program transparency. But as we address that challenge of the immediate issue of gas prices, as well as the long-term challenge of energy for our nation for national security purposes and other very important policy principles, it's important that we keep the eye on the ball on real solutions as opposed to phony solutions. And right now, the oil shale regulations, which have been proposed by the Department of Interior and which some of my colleagues are supporting here in the Senate, are part of a set of solutions that I would put in category that's not going to provide the relief that they're promising. And I believe that what we ought to do is to be realistic with the American people. It's interesting to note that Chevron, in its own statements about whether or not we should be moving forward with the issuance of commercial oil shale regulations, have said that we're not ready to do that because we don't have the technology. And we've had lots of opinions in Colorado that we are not ready to move forward. For me, it's important because 80% of the reserves in oil shale are locked up in the rock of Colorado. They're locked up in the oil shale of the Western Slope. And so I do not want to have the federal government run roughshod over the state of Colorado, and I will do everything I can to stop the Department of Interior from doing so. The socioeconomic and environmental costs and benefits associated with oil shale development are likely to be quite large. As has been noted above, we have no reasonable way to generate meaningful scenarios to quantify the potential impacts for an industry that does not exist or technologies that have not been deployed. Given those words directly from the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Interior, I think it is foolhardy for the Department of Interior to move forward to lock up the nearly million acres of lands in Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming for oil shale at this point in time. And I have supported a moratorium for another year so that we can complete the process which I created last year, and that's complete review of the report that the Department of Defense has issued on Pinyon Canyon expansion, as well as a General Accounting Office review of that report. I will continue to fight for that moratorium and want us to succeed in that moratorium. In the meantime, there is an Army report that has been issued. And as I said when the report was issued, I think it made some steps in the right direction. So there's still